This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're going to be talking about current major landlord-tenant issues, landlord and tenant issues. Also, for those of you who may not know, this is we're doing this program live on Wednesday, August 24th. Every month, we do what's called a Call a Lawyer Night. And that's usually the fourth Wednesday of the month. If you're listening to the live program, you'll be able to talk with one of several attorneys off the air while my guests and I are doing the on-air program. For Call a Lawyer, it's 800-525-9917, 800-525-9917. And also, that's for the attorneys in the studio here, criminal law, landlord-tenant law, tax law, patent law, etc. One of the other attorneys who's with us, but to help, is Alice O'Sullivan, former chair of the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. She's a workers' compensation law specialist. She is available at her home on her cell phone between now and 8 p.m. California time, 510-333-3314, 510-333-3314. As we go a little bit later in the program, I will give you our live program toll-free number for you to call in and talk with my guests on the air. My guests are real estate attorneys Walter Shefflow, a partner in the San Mateo law firm of Fox, Shefflow, Hartley, and Babu; Stephen McDonald, principal of the San Francisco law firm of Stephen Adair McDonald and Partners; and David Finkelstein, partner in the San Mateo law firm of Finkelstein, Bender, and Fuji. This segment of Your Legal Rights is made possible by the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding is provided by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, the Family Law Section of the State Bar, and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Walt, would you do this? Would you talk to start off the program talking about the unlawful detainer law, the significance of it, both in California, and my understanding is throughout the United States, most states, if not all, also have an unlawful detainer law system, if you would.
That's right, Chuck. Most states have this. And the purpose of the unlawful detainer laws, when they were first passed 150 years ago or so, was to make a short, summary way, summary meaning quick, of resolving disputes between landlords and tenants. Because what was happening was a great deal of violence. The law calls it self-help. What that really means is landlord would come over and said he wants a tenant to move, and the tenant would punch him in the nose and says, not today. Or landlord would throw all the tenant's things out in the street and change the locks while the tenant was at work or something like that. So they thought if they came up with a short way of getting this dispute resolved, did you have the right to stay in the place or does it belong to the landlord, that would end it. And it pretty much has worked. And although there are a lot of changes in rent control laws and when you can ask somebody to leave, the unlawful detainer laws are by and large a success. In our world today, when things seem to run so slow sometimes in the courts, in San Mateo County, you can be at trial in an unlawful detainer in less than 2 months. So the system is functioning pretty well. I can't say that that's true of every county in the state because I don't know.
Let me turn for a moment, if I can, to Steve, because your office is in San Francisco, Steve, and I think you probably your clientele is mostly either landlords or tenants in San Francisco. How fast can you get to trial in an unlawful detainer case in San Francisco?
Well, first of all, I agree with Walt's analysis. That was the goal, and in fact, it's been reached in terms of nonviolence.
Well, that's good.
However, it's a different world in San Francisco. While we can get to trial just as quickly, because it's mandated by state law, 20 days from when you request the trial date, there's so much more at stake. We have two tiers of rent. We have controlled rent, and we have market rent. So typically that means the landlord is dying to get the tenant out if he's been there for 10 or 20 years, and the tenant is desperate to stay. So there's a lot that's fought about.
I'd also say that it's only been since around 1971 that the tenant had any chance for any kind of viable defense in an unlawful detainer action. In that year, I was working for the Federal Housing Law Project in Berkeley, which was located in the Bolt Hall Law School. And the team that I was part of, I wasn't the head of the team, but I was part of it, established the warranty of habitability for the first time in California in a case called Green versus Superior Court. Since then, that's been codified in a statute, and it's so that if a tenant has vermin or rats or if he doesn't have hot water or working toilet or working sink, or if his windows leak, or if there's water coming through the roof, that's a defense to an unlawful detainer.
That's state law.
But that only happened since 1971. Before that, there wasn't any defense. So
I
now
see.
There are these defenses available if those conditions exist for the tenant.
So if, for example, the tenant is confronted with rats or vermin or whatever it is, and the landlord won't do anything, what do you do? What does the tenant do if the landlord says, hey, I want my rent, or you're out. I'm going to file an unlawful detainer action against you, David.
Well, the problem with that situation is if the tenant is on public assistance, he or she can probably get a legal aid attorney. If the tenant is sort of a working kind of poor person, there's much more of a problem, and he has to get an attorney, and usually he may not qualify for legal aid, so he should go to the lawyer's referral service or seek some consultation from some other source to get a tenant to get an attorney for the tenant who is knowledgeable about a tenant's rights.
So you're saying even if a landlord, and we're talking about California law, the warranty of habitability, even if the landlord isn't doing what he or she or they should be doing in terms of getting rid of rats or repairing the roof that leaks during the winter, this is not something that a tenant should he or she try to defend themselves on, because they're going to be at a greater disadvantage. What do you say, Steve?
Well, I would suggest calling the Department of Building Inspection, because then they'll issue a notice of violation. Then you've got a very compelling document there from, you know, an authority.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, I agree with David, the middle class guy is at a disadvantage.
Sure.
Because lawyers are expensive. But, you know, nowadays on the internet, there are a lot of folks, including myself, that give free consultations. We like to build goodwill by answering people's inquiries, and you can get a lot of valuable information that way.
Let me go to you, Walt. Talk a little bit about the bar associations, not only in California but elsewhere in the United States, and the lawyer referral system, because I think this is a very valuable one. And I have, for this program, funding by the San Mateo County Bar, which has a lawyer referral service, and the San Francisco Bar, which has a lawyer referral service. But talk generally about it and the value of it, if you would.
Right. I think people are familiar with the middle class being squeezed in these situations where seems like maybe if you're poor enough, you get a legal aid lawyer, and if you're wealthy enough, you have another lawyer. So the lawyer referral services from the bar associations, there's a state bar of California, but each county also has a voluntary bar association. And almost all of those bar associations have lawyer referral services where the lawyers are screened not only geographically because they're in that county, but by area of practice, so that in San Mateo County, I believe it's $35. You can either online or call in and get a referral to a lawyer who is experienced in the area of law that you have a question on, in this case, landlord-tenant. And you can call that lawyer and get an answer to your question before you do something. Let's say you have the rat problem or something like that. Instead of going and throwing the rat poop in your landlord's face or something like that, go call a lawyer and talk about this first. Steve's idea of calling building inspector, good idea. The health department's another one. And cities and counties have those. And their report is, as Steve said, worth its weight in gold.
Let me turn to you, David, for a moment. Before we went on the air, you mentioned how landlords, a landlord doesn't already have an attorney, where a landlord might go to get an attorney. Of course, a landlord could go to lawyer referral, no question about it. Where else? Yes.
Most landlords do not do that. It's very rare that a landlord goes to a lawyer referral service. I think Steve's suggestion of going on the internet and looking for landlord representatives or landlord-oriented attorneys is a good one. And also, most realtors are very familiar with their local real estate attorneys, and most real estate attorneys, as part of their practice, are very familiar with landlord-tenant law. So I would say internet is one source. I'd say your local real estate agent is another source.
And I think what we want to do is I want to take a moment, Joanne, to have our number. All right, everybody, it's Call a Lawyer night, and I want to give you an opportunity to call in off the air before I give you our on-the-air phone number. It's 800-525-9917, 800-525-9917. For workers' compensation law, Alice O'Sullivan, you can call her until 8 p.m. Pacific time, 510-333-3314. Here at the station, Jeff Hayden, who is a certified specialist in criminal law, he will be the chair of the Board of Legal Specialization in a couple of months. For landlord-tenant law, Sal Timpano. For tax law, real estate law, he's also a real estate broker, Frank Adam. And patent law, lemon law, Ron Rohde. So if you want to talk to any one of them, it's 1-800-525-9917. This is Your Legal Right. If you've tuned in the last few minutes, I have some very experienced real estate attorneys with me. And in a few minutes, I'll give you an opportunity to call in on our toll-free number. We're doing this program live on Wednesday, August 24th. My guests in the studio are David Finkelstein, whose office is in San Mateo County, Steve McDonald, whose office is in San Francisco, and my third guest, Walt Shiflow, whose office is in San Mateo.
Chuck, I might add there is another source that I sort of didn't mention, and that is most counties in Northern California have an apartment house owners association. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the one in this area is, I think, called the Tri-County Apartment House Association that covers several counties in the area. And I actually get a lot of calls from landlords who are referred through that agency.
Do you find, generally speaking, gentlemen, in terms of the cases you've been dealing with, because I know each one of you represents tenants at times and landlords at times, are you finding, generally speaking, that a significant percentage or not necessarily overly large, but a good percentage of landlords do not have attorneys?
No. Steve. In San Francisco, there's, again, so much at stake. That they are knowledgeable enough to retain a specialized attorney. And again, David's correct that the Apartment House Association in San Francisco, it's the SFAA, San Francisco Apartment Association, and the Small Property Owners Institute of San Francisco, they're an excellent resource for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, this is Walt. Let me chime in with something that's important for tenants. So you've just heard that most landlords have lawyers, either existing or resources to get them. Obviously, they're going to. The property's worth a lot of money. They're protecting it. A tenant who doesn't take a similar step and find legal advice before they act, they say something they shouldn't say.
You mean some kind of cuss word to the landlord?
Or the thing I mentioned earlier about, you know, here this rat poops in their house and they go and dump it on the landlord's door or something. They're burning a bridge there that they may not want to burn. And go get some advice first. Go to one of these lawyer referral services before you do anything. There's a lot at stake for you. This is your home, your place of refuge. You don't want to do something that's going to cause you to have a problem, no matter how right you may think you are. On the rat situation, the landlord likely will not agree that the place is rat-infested, et cetera, which is why both Steve and I recommend you get an outside inspection from the city on it. So just because you know you're right doesn't mean you're going to be able to prove it. Mm-hmm. Talk to a lawyer and find out what you can prove. If you do prove it, what does that mean for you? and then decide with the lawyer, sit and talk about, is this a fight you really want?
Yeah, this is David. Let me just say that you're absolutely right, especially in the non-rent controlled areas of the Northern California, because there is some authority that if a landlord gives either a 30-day if their tenancy is less than a year or 60-day notice if it's more than a year, that it might not even matter if there is a breach of the warranty of habitability, because the habitability, I've argued and seen it argued by a lot of other attorneys that it possibly may not even apply to a termination on a 60-day notice without where there's no demand for rent. And
I'm not sure I'm following you on so, that. You're saying the warranty of habitability will not not
it's
matter?
It's not an issue. What would be the issue is whether the 60 days is issued in retaliation.
Ah, okay.
So then that becomes the issue.
I see.
And this is Walt again. So if you've popped off to your landlord or done something to him, he says, no, it wasn't because I'm retaliating because of the condition or their complaint. It's what they did to me. Mm-hmm. My wife doesn't feel safe. I don't feel safe. My kids don't feel safe around here. What you're doing is giving up some of your rights by handing evidence to the other side that didn't need to exist because those things just didn't have to happen.
If you are a tenant and let's say you get so angry, you do something later on that you wish you hadn't done, how might, Walt, that affect you in terms of getting another rental if this is the case? Does something like this follow you? And I mean, this is a civil type of thing, generally speaking. Will it follow you? And that if you want to apply for another place to rent, will that landlord somehow find out what you did with your previous landlord?
Probably. And here's how that happens. Once you have, let's say you've contested or not left when there's a notice given to you, either a 3-day or 30-day or 60-day, the landlord is going to file an unlawful detainer action in court. That is a 5-day summons. You have to answer in 5 days. At first, that is not open to public viewing. But if the landlord gets a judgment or once 60 days expires, that's public record. And it's going to be very difficult for a tenant who has that history of contesting that the landlord mm-hmm. wanted them out to get something from a new landlord. This is the internet age. Every county is available, the records, the mm-hmm. court records for everyone, and these apartment associations keep track of this stuff.
So even if the tenant can pay the rental that the landlord has on this, that doesn't matter. If you as a tenant have done something that you shouldn't have done, it may be that you're not going to, even if you can pay the rent, you're not going to be able to get the place, and you can't claim something against a new landlord or a landlord who you'd like to rent the property. You don't have any legal right to say, Your Honor, I am entitled to be able to rent that.
Yeah, and that's correct. This is Walt again.
Assuming there's no racial situation here,
right,
or some kind of discrimination.
And let's say that even if there was a law that said that someone had to rent you despite your rental history, there's lots of other reasons why people get rejected for rentals as well. There might be better tenants than that person. So it's just a bad idea to let your emotions rule. My father-in-law always says emotions are expensive.
So don't start throwing any tomatoes. Is that what you're saying?
Or
even tomatoes. Okay, Steve.
Chuck, that leads perhaps to the subject of settlement. My colleagues and I agree that 99.5% or more of these cases do settle without a trial. Trials are generally too expensive for everybody.
Sure.
And yeah. One term that costs nobody anything is to seal the record, even if the 60 days mm-hmm. has expired. Simple, mm-hmm. Two-line stipulation.
This is California law.
Yeah, California law keeps them sealed for the first 60 days, so it protects yeah. the tenant. But after that, it's exposed. It's revealed, and a lot of landlords check these things. And another thing that costs nothing is a neutral letter of recommendation. Oftentimes, a landlord in the morning of trial is pretty upset. I'm not going to help you even if you move out. But a neutral letter, yes, this person was my tenant for this period of time and paid the rent.
I'm going to come back to that in just a moment because I have never heard this term before, a neutral letter, and I'd like you to explain it. For those of you who are listening to the live program on August 24th, this is our monthly Call a Lawyer night where you can talk with one of several attorneys off the air, 800-525-9917, 800-525-9917. In a few minutes, I'll be inviting you to call and speak to my guests on the air on this live program, and that toll number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Come back to this neutral letter. Would you, Steve?
Well, again, imagine you're in some very tense negotiations and the difficult terms such as will the tenant move out is achieved, the amount of time and the financial terms are achieved, but still the tenant is worried, well, where am I going to go? How am I going to find another place? Well, the creative solution is either the landlord volunteers it or the tenant requests it, that the record be sealed and therefore mm-hmm. won't become public if the new landlord wants to check. And a neutral letter of recommendation, or even a positive one, even if it offends the landlord's...
What would a neutral letter be? This tenant rented my property?
Yeah, to whom it may concern. This is to confirm that this person lived in my property for 4 years, owes me no rent, and we wish him well.
Right, and this is David, and I use both of those things of sealing the case, usually forever, as well as giving at least a neutral recommendation, sometimes a positive or neutral recommendation, as bargaining chips to have the tenant leave earlier. Mm-hmm. And usually there's a legal aid or a community legal assistance attorney assisting in the negotiation. And they usually start off by saying we want 60 days free rent
sure.
to move out.
Yeah.
And then we say, well, if you move out by the end of the month, we'll give you a neutral or positive recommendation and we'll seal the case forever and we'll waive the rent for this month or maybe even waive the back rent. But we want you out immediately by the end of the month.
And does that usually work?
It usually works.
Good. Good to hear.
This is Walt. Yeah. Let me point out something about that letter of recommendation.
Please, if you will.
Where that becomes important is when you fill out a rental application somewhere, they want information about where you lived before and they want addresses, phone numbers, contact information. So if you have just been kicked out, even if the record is sealed, and they call your former landlord, they're going to get an earful.
Ah.
So this combats that problem.
Right.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Here's something for you. This is a question that was brought to me in the studio by my assistant Martin. For those tenants living in rent-controlled cities, and of course San Francisco is rent-controlled, and there are many others in California, of course, if they are living in apartments that are uninhabitable, they can apply to the rent board for a rent reduction. It's safer than withholding rent. What do you say?
Absolutely true. The tenant is not well advised to put himself on the defensive. If he withholds rent, he might feel clever for the moment, but now he's defending an unlawful detainer. He's getting pressured, and he's going to need possibly to go to trial.
Yeah.
So the best defense is an offense. Avoid jeopardy. Pay the rent. Go to the building inspector. Mm-hmm. Hire a lawyer. You might get a rent rebate at the rent board. It's free. Mm-hmm. There is no charge. Mm-hmm. And you might, if it's serious enough, file an affirmative suit, meaning find an attorney who will sue the landlord on a contingency basis, meaning no money out of pocket by the tenant, and settle the case for a tidy sum many months later.
Give us an example, can you?
Sure.
This tidy sum thing you're talking about?
Well, the biggest cases in San Francisco are where the tenant was wrongfully evicted, meaning he lost the benefit of that rent differential.
Sure.
He's paying $1,000 a month more
where
he's going. If that case were to go to trial and the landlord was found responsible for not really moving in when he did the owner move in, for example.
You mean the landlord misrepresented?
Yeah, some type of fraud, let's say.
Yeah.
then the jury would award that $1,000 a month for as many months and years as the tenant might be expected to stay. If he had been there 10 years and he was under 80 years old, he might be expected to remain another 10 years. So that's 10
Boy, that'd be a
times
lot of money.
12 and then trebled by law plus fees.
Wow.
So there's an awful lot at stake going on there.
Now, is that state law or just what?
That's local.
That's local. That's San Francisco
Correct.
Rent ordinance.
Correct.
Okay. Are there other ordinances, rent ordinances similar to this in California, Walt?
I can't say that they're exactly like San Francisco. Berkeley has one that's similarly has some draconian features like that. East Palo Alto has some.
Does
sure.
it? Okay.
There are two rent ordinances on the ballot in San Mateo and Burlingame this November as well. You can look at those online. They're voter initiatives.
And right. Just a moment, David, if yep. you will. And so what's the point of these initiatives?
Well, I think they all came from the fact that the last approximately 3 or 4 years, the tech industry has been so hot on the peninsula and continues to be, that a lot of people have had rent increases that are beyond what they used to
sure.
get and what they expect.
Of course.
And I get a lot of calls of people who are being priced out and have to move either to a smaller place or in some cases mm-hmm. off the peninsula. And I think that's where this is coming from. They feel, gee, I've lived here a long time. What's happening?
David, you
I
had
was
something.
Going to mention that in especially in San Francisco, even outside the statute. I was recently called in to settle a case that was had a disastrous consequence, which I was not the trial attorney. But at the trial, my client had taken the keys from a bar owner who was renting a commercial property. And then 2 months later, that owner decided he had been wrongfully evicted because he wasn't given any notice, but he did hand the keys to my client. Two attorneys turned down the case. The third attorney went to a jury. It was a $220,000 award against my client that was trebled, plus attorney's fees. It was something like $700,000 or $800,000. And eventually, wow. I got it down to the original amount of $220,000. We settled it. I wasn't the trial attorney.
We've come to the end of the statewide version. Boy, that's what a way to end the statewide version. Everybody, this is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing a program on current major landlord-tenant issues. I want to invite you, if you're listening to the program live on August 24th, the toll-free number 866-798-8255-8266. That's 866-798. Is it 8266 or 8255? I don't want to give the wrong number. Martin, would you check that out? I come in here and tell me, will you? I'm barraged by all of this legal stuff that my friends are throwing at me. Here's who's with us. These are real estate attorneys of great significance. Walter Scheflow, partner in the San Mateo law firm of Fox, Scheflow, Hartley, and Babu. Stephen McDonald, principal of the San Francisco law firm of Stephen Adair McDonald and Partners, and David Finkelstein, partner in the San Mateo law firm of Finkelstein, Bender, and Fuji. And for those of you who are listening to the program live, we also have our fourth Wednesday of the month, every month, Call a Lawyer Night, where you can call in and speak with any one of several attorneys. The number is I got so many people here. 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. And let me correct myself on the toll-free number. And excuse me if you would, everybody. 866-798-8255, not 8266. 8255. 866-798-8255. I want to thank the attorneys who are here for Call a Lawyer Night. Alice O'Sullivan will be available for another half an hour. She's a certified specialist in workers' compensation law. Her separate number is area code 510-333-3314. In the station here for criminal law, certified specialist Jeff Hayden, who will become the chair of the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar in a couple of months. For landlord-tenant law, Sal Timpano. For tax law, real estate law, and he's also a real estate broker, Frank Adam. For patent law, aviation law, lemon law, and BBB arbitration, Ron Rohde. And if you're being haunted or pursued by your creditors, Leon Baer, who's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be available to speak with you tomorrow. That's Thursday, August 25th from 8 a.m. to noon. And you might want to jot down his number, 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. If you call and just get the voicemail, leave your name and phone number, say you listen to Your Legal Rights, and Leon will call you back. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County. And for a referral to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services of the San Francisco Bar, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. The San Mateo County Bar also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own, of course, during normal business hours, 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. And every county in California has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone who's experienced. That by someone, I mean a lawyer who's experienced in the area. And for a half an hour consultation, with minor exception, you will pay $25 to $35 for the half an hour. The $35 or $25 does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service to keep it going. It's a great consumer service. So, okay, everybody, we're going to take our first call from Renee in San Francisco. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay, I'm an owner of a condo in San Francisco in a BMR, a below market rate offsite development. So my question is with respect to developer fraud and misrepresentation, and what kind of culpability the city may have. For those who don't know, the San Francisco inclusionary housing policy sets minimum standards for units, and ours was built according to the 2007 policy, so it had to be larger than 500 square feet. The developer reported to the city that ours was 506 square feet, but if you look on the architectural plans, it says it's 450, and that's actually what it measures out to.
Now, give me your question, because this is one that I think has a lot of aspects to it, Renee, but pose the question quickly.
Basically, if this were a market rate development, it would be pretty straightforward. I'd go to court, sue them, and say, hey, you shorted us by 50 square feet, and we paid, I don't know, $1,000 or $1,500 a square foot, so 1,500 times 50 is $75,000, and you owe me $75,000. But BMR is basically what you pay for a one-bedroom, and it doesn't matter how big it is. This one they made below the legal amount. The city let them build the wrong size, and they shouldn't have. And we've been living.
You've got to come with your question, Renee. I have other people.
Let's assume his question is
Here is Steve, who's going to respond. Turn your radio back on, Renee, and hear what Steve has to say.
Renee, I'm going to assume that your question is how could you achieve justice or some remedy. First, I'm not so sure. It sounds like a very specialized area of the law. It's development, construction. But I'm familiar with the concept of usable square feet. And sometimes when you rent commercial space, and perhaps even when you buy a condo, you are given a number, 1,200 square feet. But maybe it's 1,050 or 1,100, and the other square footage is your share of the common areas. That's just one idea that occurs to me. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, I have a feeling that the only person that has what we call standing or a right to sue would probably be the city, because the city worked with the developer on this, and you know, particularly for the BMR aspect of it, below market rate. And I'm not sure if you have standing or if it would be the city attorney, for some type of fraud or breach of the agreement that the developer entered into.
Certainly it sounded to me that Rene did not have an attorney, I presume, or he's not happy with, if he does have an attorney, with whatever advice he's been given. What recommendation would you have for him? Because it's apparent to me that he has a number of questions and he needs some good advice of what to do, or what, so that he knows what he can or cannot do. If you would, Walt, please.
I think this is a case where the San Francisco lawyer referral would be of use to him.
Yeah.
And he should call them and he should explain that he wants someone who is experienced in handling below market rate real property and the remedies that are available for that. I've touched on it briefly and tangentially in some of the cases I've had, but I've never done exactly what he is asking about. And that's where this big referral service with hundreds of attorneys in it is going to have somebody that's going to get a lot closer than any of the three of us.
Rene, if you didn't jot down the number of the San Francisco Bar's Lawyer Referral Service, here it is. And for everyone who's listening to this program, should you by chance have a legal problem, always have something to write with and a piece of paper, because I will be giving some numbers and this may be helpful to you. Rene, the San Francisco Bar Lawyer Referral Number, 415-989-1616, 415-989-1616. This segment of Your Legal Rights is funded by the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, and the California Applicants Attorneys Association. We're going to take a call now from John. Welcome to the program.
Oh, hi. Boy, you're covering a lot of ground here, so I will cover a lot of ground.
No. John, be succinct. We cannot cover a lot of ground because I have a lot of other people who want to call. Ask a question.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, geez. Hey, in 2008, there was a bubble pop of real estate. Okay, so the biggest problem is housing. Okay, how about a government program to develop cargo container housing or the Buckminster Fuller inexpensive housing? I went down to HUD yesterday. Their lists are full, like for 2 years full. Comment on all that.
Okay. Well, this is David.
Now, turn your radio back up, John, and listen to what David has to say.
I'm not sure any of us here can give you an answer, but this is something that sounds like more political, like you ought to go to your assemblyman, state senator, or maybe the city council. There are new experimental programs there. For example, near AT&T Park, if you walk in the parking lot there, they have these trans containers which are used for little stores and restaurants and everything. But my understanding is that in some areas they're allowed to be used for housing as well. I don't know if, but that's a political thing where the state or the city would have to adjust their zoning to allow for things like that.
And
this
Walt,
is Walt.
Please.
Let me add, John. It is political. The last caller, Rene, was just asking about below market rate. And in many of the below market rate housing now, they allow smaller sizes than they will for other types of development. And the idea is to make housing cheaper. Still isn't very cheap. And it would have to be a lot smaller for it to get cheap. No city that I know of has allowed too much of that yet. There is some action on that in homeless encampments, strangely enough. And San Jose is considering some small housing like mm-hmm. what you're talking about, not cargo containers, but something similar.
Very interesting.
And, I mean, we'll have to see what the future brings, but we have more and more people here, and there's – not much housing and not much room to put the housing on according to the existing laws. So unless those laws change, I don't think your problem is going to get solved.
San Francisco has employed a couple of initiatives. One is legalizing illegal in-law units, garage apartments.
Yes.
The city can't do away with the state building code, but they can remove their restrictions such as off-street parking. Mm-hmm. And I think in one neighborhood district where Scott Weiner is the elected supervisor in the Castro district, they're also reducing the square footage, mm-hmm. meaning you can develop tiny, tiny units. There's so
what
much
are we
pressure.
Talking about? What are we talking about, tiny units?
How four or 500 square
four feet. 500 square feet. Yeah. Yes, I have read that. Yeah, Walt.
I would say, Walt, 400 or 500 still isn't tiny enough to meet what John is talking about.
Oh,
the Buckminster Fuller things and all like that were 100 square feet or something like that.
Wow.
And many people think that's what's coming. I don't know if it is or not, but it's a political issue that's out there right now.
Let me also mention this to you. And John, I didn't mean to be rough on you in asking you to be succinct, but we have a number. All lines are lit. And if you have other questions that you would like to pose tonight, Sal Timpano, who's a landlord-tenant attorney, is here for Call a Lawyer. Again, that number, 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. We will be doing another landlord-tenant program on, if you want to put this on your calendar, everybody, September 14th, that evening. And Sal Timpano will be one of my guests, and I believe Tad Devlin will also be. So you might want to put that down. Unfortunately, to really do justice to this, I should have a program that, let's say, lasts 3 hours, but that's not possible. Again, Call a Lawyer is 1-800-525-9917. Frank Adam is a real estate broker. He's a real estate law attorney. He can also answer some questions about that. Let's take another call. We have June. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I just want to go back to the micro from the macro here a little bit. Getting back to the question of rats and landlords, I had a similar problem. And when I brought it repeatedly to the attention of the landlord, he said, well, you can move out if you don't like it.
Ooh.
And I said, well, you're supposed to, you know, control the vermin. That's part of our agreement and what I'm paying you for. And when I said I would call the health department as a last resort, he said, well, then I'm not going to give you a good referral when you do move out. So he used that referral.
Oh, my.
As a threat, and which landlords often can and do use that as a threat. So it's not just an inducement; it's also used as in a punitive way to prevent, in retaliatory way, to prevent tenants from claiming their rights.
What did you do, June? If anything, what did you do in light of what your landlord had threatened you?
I did move out.
Did you?
And mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to. Mm. And the fact is, he wanted to convert my unit into an Airbnb rental, which increasingly landlords are doing, much to the despair of renters in San Francisco. I mean, the whole Airbnb thing is of epidemic proportions, and I don't know. I would like to know what controls of, or if any, are being actually exercised to prevent, you know, legitimate units that should go to long-term tenants from being rented out as Airbnb units.
Let me get some comments for you, June, if you'll turn your radio back up. Does anyone want to start? Steve, please.
So San Francisco has a strong regulation now for Airbnb. It is not legal for a landlord to use an apartment in which he himself doesn't live as a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, they're registering them, and there's enforcement provisions, and some landlords have been sued. Back to your original issue.
Yeah.
Of course, there are a few things that have already been said on the air tonight about what you could have done, such as calling the health department or the building inspector, the rent board, and there's also an anti-harassment ordinance in San Francisco. You could sue for that type of behavior if you could prove that he said that. Finally, arguably, you have been, quote, constructively evicted, unquote. Him refusing to remedy the situation, and it sounds like in the face of that you decided, well, I can't live here then, I'm leaving, that actually entitles you to sue him for constructive eviction. And there are some attorneys that you can find in San Francisco that might take that case on a contingency. The insurance companies defend these cases. They recognize these claims, and they pay.
June, I would also suggest to you that it sounds like you have not sought the advice of an attorney who does landlord-tenant work representing tenants. You might want to call also the San Francisco Lawyer Referral Service Office, 415-989-1616, because it's my understanding you live in San Francisco. That's 415-989-1616. Again, it's our monthly Call a Lawyer Night live on August 24th. That's 1-800-525-9917. I want to thank Alice O'Sullivan for being available at 510-333-3314. She'll be available another 15 minutes until 8 p.m. Pacific time. I want to thank Jeff Hayden, who will be the chair, who is the chair elect of the California Board of Legal Specialization. He's a certified specialist in criminal law. I want to thank Sal Timpano, landlord tenant laws. Sal will be back with us on September 14th. I want to thank Frank Adam, tax law, real estate broker, and Ron Rohde, who came back from a vacation to join us. And he does patent law, aviation law, lemon law, BBB arbitration. If you're being haunted by creditors, Leon Baer is available tomorrow, pardon me, which is Thursday, August 25th, from 8 a.m. to noon, his 800 number. And by the way, all of this, no obligation whatsoever on your part. This is all a public service that all of these attorneys are performing. 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. Did you have something, Walt?
I had another thought for June.
Okay, good.
Called.
Yeah.
June, if you remember earlier in the program, I said one of the things you can do is stay out of a fight over your home and your the place of refuge and leave. And you did that. And I'd compliment you for that, because once you find a new place that is better, then you can do what Steve suggests, which is analyze with the lawyer whether or not there is any lawsuit you want to file and any damages you can collect. The other thing I would have said about your situation is after your landlord, you told him that there were rats and he didn't do anything, call public health and get him out there before you talk to the landlord again.
Yeah. So that she's gone. That, yeah. She's gone from that place. Sure. But it from what Steve said, June, it may well be well worth it for you to seek the advice of an attorney now, landlord-tenant attorney who represents tenants, and see what potential you might have for bringing a lawsuit against your former landlord. And Steve, by the way, has a book. Steve, you've written, and I didn't mention this before. You've got one of my guests here has written a book, and you might want to look at it. Oh my gosh, he's got two books here. This guy is a real writer. Steve is Stephen McDonald, principal of the law firm of Stephen Adair McDonald and Partners in San Francisco. He's got a couple of books. One is a hardbound book, Landlord-Tenant Solutions in California. Nice little book. And then he's got a big paperback, which is San Francisco Rent Board User's Guide. Now, I have never seen this before, Steve. I wish I had gotten one of this. It's 2003. It is The Law, the Board, and Litigation, Stephen Adair McDonald. So if those of you who are looking for something to read and try to educate yourself about, these are a couple of good books. Let's take another. Oh, we've got Jay. Jay, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Yes, thank you, and thank you so much for your program. I know we don't have much time, so I'll try to speak fast.
You're only going to take an hour, is that right? Go ahead, Jay.
My problem is surveillance. I live in a building that was built in about between 2007 and 2008. The whole building is heavily under surveillance, but the problem is My apartment is under surveillance.
What do you mean? Surveillance by how?
Well, the people upstairs can see me where I have clothes on and not, and they can see everything in my apartment, and they announce, for instance, somebody picked up my phone as soon as I called you. Now, there's some proof to that because my phone line was slammed, and the director of AT&T and Verizon gave it back to me. They took my phone, my land wire, that's AT&T, to Verizon when I wasn't here. And I proved that I wasn't here. I had nothing to do with it. They had to port my phone back. So there is some proof to there is surveillance in my apartment. Now, the management...
Can they see... pardon me, Jay. Can they see through your windows? Is that how they survey
you? No, through the... The maintenance has connected my ceiling to their floor. They see through my ceiling. There is supposed to be cement columns dividing my apartment from the apartment above me.
Oh, wow.
I hear them. They stack the columns to one side. So there must be holes along the periphery, okay?
Well, and now, Jay, just a moment, if you would. Have you sought the advice of a private attorney?
You know, the landlord...
No. Have you sought the advice?
No, that's what I want to ask.
Okay, all right. You are living in San Francisco, are you not?
Yes.
Okay. Here's what I would recommend you do. Unfortunately, we do not have the time on the radio program, unfortunately, to do justice to what your concern is. But I would suggest you call the San Francisco Lawyer Referral Office. Do you have something to write with?
Oh, yes, I know that number, but this is my question.
Yes.
If a civil rights attorney takes my case, can they subpoena? If they subpoena the surveillance tapes in my apartments, do they have to give them up? Because they are telling me they're not doing this, but they are.
Okay, let me get some comments from my guests, and you turn your radio back up if you would, Jay. This is
Walt.
Walt, please.
Yeah, Jay, if they say they don't have any such records, unless you can prove that they do have them, you're not going to get those records.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying they don't exist. I don't know whether they do or not. Another resource besides the San Francisco Lawyer Referral Service for you might be San Francisco Police Department.
That's a good point.
Other than that, I can't suggest anything.
Good point. I have two of my guests who are indicating that that might be something you might want to look into, Jay, the San Francisco Police Department. See if you can't go in and talk with someone there. All right, we have time, I think, for another call or two. Rocky, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I rent a room in my house. My last renter did not put in a change of address at the post office, and I'm continuing to get his mail. Do I have a legal responsibility spelling out something I have to do with it?
That's very interesting. Very good. Very good point. Let me ask my... Did your renter leave under good circumstances, or did you have to evict him, or what?
No, I didn't have to evict him. He left when he wanted to.
And did he cheat you of rent or something?
No.
Okay, well, let me get some comments for you.
All right, this is,
yeah,
David.
This is David.
I just have a practical solution. This has happened to several landlords in my experience, and usually what they do is they tell the post office to return to sender,
yeah,
and there's no forwarding address.
Yeah, yeah. So try that, Rocky. See if you can't do that. And maybe would you say, David, at this point, would you say it might be worth it for Rocky to go to the local post office with the mail that he's received and say, I have no forwarding address?
Yes.
I want to return this to you. This man is no longer living in my place. Would you recommend
that? Yes,
okay.
And do not forward any more of his mail to me. Return to sender.
Great, great suggestion. All right, last call, I think, will be Grace. Welcome to Your Legal Rights. Grace is calling from Oakland. Hi.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I have an issue with raccoons that... they're keeping me up at night. The way my house is situated, it's a flat roof, and the raccoons crawl up on the roof and jump up and down, and I'm woken up like three times a night, and I'm missing sleep. And in the meantime, my landlord had given me, last year he tried to evict me, saying he wanted to move in, but he didn't do it legally, so he then told me, okay, I give up, you can stay till next December. Yeah. Well, now he's giving me another 6-day notice because he doesn't want to deal with the raccoon problem. And I'm just wondering what to do at this point.
Wow. And you are, at this point, you are, what, on a month-to-month tenancy? Is that it?
No, I have a lease.
Until the end of this year?
Oh, well, I guess the lease, I've been here for 8 years.
Oh.
And that's another thing. I'm working with the tenants' rights organization, Justa Causa, Just Cause, and they're very helpful. But I'm not sure they really address what to do about the raccoon.
Let me get some comments for you on this. Turn your radio back up, Grace.
This is David. I have another practical solution. Almost every lease form that I'm aware of has a clause that says the tenant is entitled to quiet enjoyment, and I believe it's implied in law even if it's not written in the lease. And this is an issue of quiet enjoyment where you can't get to sleep because of this disturbance that's going on. And I think that you need an attorney to claim that you're being evicted in retaliation for complaining about the lack of quiet enjoyment. I don't know if my colleagues agree with me.
Let me do this. We've just about run out of time. Grace, let me suggest to you, you call the Alameda County Bar Association and ask to see if you can have an appointment with an attorney who is a landlord-tenant attorney who represents tenants. If you'd like to jot this down, area code 510-302-2222, 510-302-2222. And we have come nearly to the end of the program. Any final thoughts here? Let me come back to Walt. Any final thoughts? You've got 15 seconds, unfortunately.
If you're a tenant, be nice to your landlord. If you're a landlord, be nice to your tenant. Talk to a lawyer before you do anything you're going to regret.
That sounds good. Dennis, very briefly, a few seconds.
Yes. My suggestion would be that whether you're a landlord or a tenant, if you have an issue with the opposing either tenant or landlord, that you get informed legal advice so you know what you're talking about and you know what authority you have to support your contentions, and you know what methods and remedies you have.
We have run out of time, everybody, and I want to thank you gentlemen for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you on the program. Walt Scheflow, Steve McDonald, and David Finkelstein, thank you very much for joining us on the program. It's been terrific.
Thank you.
Next time on the program, Your Legal Rights, we'll be talking about overtime pay and minimum wage laws, how they work, and what's new in California. My guests will be California employment law attorneys Samson Eldsburned and Alan Cohen. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights has been made possible by the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding for the program has been made possible by the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which also funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program. Thanks for listening to Your Legal Rights. Join us next time on your public radio station. I'm Chuck Finney.